His arrows, resembling fire but smoke, covered the whole sky, and he discharged them and fired them more with a speed that the enemy could not follow. One man-eater survived and ran back to Ravana with the news.
Ravana! Ravana! Oh, Ramachandra devoured us with shafts like a five ever we had fled.
Lord Indra himself could not be safe by doing injury to me.
But I have done you the hell of slaughter. Please, Ravana, listen to me with attention regarding Ramachandra's valor as I have experienced it. I humbly submit to you that Ramachandra could bring down the stars and planets and raise the Sumer's earth by his arrows, and to destroy all creatures and create them anew. Ramachandra was simply unslayable. But he has a beautiful wife called Sita. No woman could be equal to her in beauty. If you could somehow enchant Rama into the forest and take her away, it would be the one way to vanquish him, for he surely could not survive separation from his wife.
Yes, that's very good. Mahrishi, come here.
Now, Mahrishi, I want you to go to the forest and do a little mission for me. Listen, I want you to go to the forest and take on the form of a very beautiful deer and frisk in front of Ramachandra's wife, Sita. And when he leaves, we'll nab her. Did you say Ramachandra? Whoa. Listen, this proposal is impossible. For one thing, as Indra is the king of the demigods, so Ramachandra is king of all. Nobody should dare to take Sita away. She is protected by chastity and devotion. I know Ramachandra's death, like... I advise you to desist from the thoughts of crossing Lord Ramachandra.
Oh, you fool.
You think that if you go and do this, that you'll be killed by Ramachandra?
Well, I'll tell you this.
You either go there and get killed by him, or you stay here and get killed by me. Then Marich, in the form of a wonderful deer with silver spots and the sheen of jewels, appeared before Sita in the forest. His hooves were made of blue stones, and he had a little tail that shone like the rainbow. He walked this way and that, browsing on creepers and sometimes galloping. In so many ways, he drew the mind of Sita. Oh, Ram, go and get that deer for me.
I think this might just be a Rakshasa trick. Oh, well, I'll go anyway. If it is, I'll just kill him. Rakshman, you stay behind with Sita. I am going after the deer. Then he pursued the deer. He became elusive and even invisible. Rama resolved to kill it. He shot one deadly shaft which entered Marija's heart like a flaming snake. With counterfeit guise gone, Marij, in the hideous form of a huge Rakshasa, bathed in blood, now rolled upon the ground. But with his last breath, he remembered the advice of Ravana and cried out loudly,
"Alas, Sita! Alas, Lakshman!" Alas, Sita! Alas, Lakshman!
Listen, that was Rama. He must be in some danger. Lakshman, go at once and help him.
Ramachandra could not be in danger. Besides, I know my duty is to remain and protect you. Your duty is to stay back so you can enjoy me. I know you've been waiting for a long time just so you can be separated from Rama so you can fulfill your lusty desires. These are unfair words spoken by you. Farewell. I am going. You see this circle? You stay within this circle and don't ever leave it. You'll be safe as long as you stay within this circle. Don't ever leave it. I'm going now. Lakshman then took his leave to seek out Ramachandra. And as soon as he was gone, a sannyasi appeared before Sita. "My dear lady, I appear to be lost in a forest. I can't find my way out. Suppose you could show me the path out of here?" What kind of a sannyasi talks with women alone in a secluded place? This kind of sannyasi, you're coming with me. And that way, Ravana was able to find Sita alone, and he carried her off by force. Ravana had kidnapped Sita, and he took her to Lanka. "Well, Sita, what do you think of my kingdom? There are beautiful swans swimming on ponds of water. Over here I have a beautiful harem with hundreds of beautiful women who have surrendered to me on account of my material wealth and strength. Sita Devi, I am unvanquishable. I do not care for the god. This Lanka is so nice. You can come here and you can rule over Lanka. And I will become your slave. Ramachandra is a weak outcast. He'll never be able to come to Lanka. Now what do you say?" "In the consort of a swan, one who sports with her mate amidst lotuses, favored with her glance, and what a crow who is straying amongst weeds and bushes. This body is now useless to me. You may chain it or destroy it. I shall not preserve it any more, nor will I ever bear the stigma of unchastity. I am the devoted wife of Ram, and you will never be able to touch me."
"Very well. But I am giving you my warning. If after 12 months you do not favorably turn to me, I will cut you into pieces and have my cook serve you to me for a feast. 12 months."
absence of Sita, Ramachandra was plunged into unalloyed grief. He was crazed, and his understanding appeared clouded. He was going through the forest asking the flowers and trees if they had seen his love. He feared she had been eaten by the Rakshasas. He and Lakshman searched everywhere. Lakshman attempted to draw off Ramachandra's despair by sensible words, but he was paid no attention. Finally, the brothers found signs of Sita, pieces of clothing torn while resisting Ravan, and ornaments which had fallen from her as she rose up in his chariot. They also found the bloodied, dying body of Jayatu, the ancient king of the birds, who had made a valiant attempt to stop Ravana's flight. Jayatu informed Ramachandra that it was Ravana, the king of the Rakshasas, who had taken Sita. The brothers got further information that they could obtain the help needed to find Ravana's kingdom by making alliance with Sugriva, the king of the Vanaras, a monkey race. The chief of the monkeys, Sugriva, beholding Ramachandra and Lakshman within his province, was at once fearful. Sugriva thought that Rama and Lakshman had come to do some harm. The monkeys reigned from peak to peak and joined their leader for a conference on what to do about the two mighty young men who were walking amongst the trees and lakes. The chief counselor to the king, named Hanuman, assured Sugriva that their enemy, Bali, had no access to the Pampa region. Therefore, why should they fear these two warriors? Hanuman approached Rama and Lakshman on behalf of the king, and with eloquent words, invited them to meet with the monkey chieftain. Rama was at once delighted with the eloquent speech and appearance of Hanuman, and a meeting was arranged. Some delay, Hanuman alone received information that the kingdom of Lanka was an island far across the Indian Ocean. Hanuman resolved to travel through the air in search of Janaki. I am the son of the moon god Bayu, and thus I can fly. I shall reach Lanka with the velocity of the wind, just like an arrow shot by Ram, and if I do not find Janaki there, I shall at the same speed go to the region of the demigods, and if I do not meet with success even there, then I shall uproot Lanka itself and bring Ravana here in bondage. With these words, he sprang up with ease. Like Garuda, the eagle of Vishnu, Hanuman flew over the water, raising great waves by his speed, and exposing the aquatics below, who fled in fear. At time, Rakshasas rose from the sea for his destruction, but he was not deterred in his mission. When Hanuman landed in Lanka and went over the city wall, it appeared as if he had planted his left foot on the crown of Ravana. Hanuman was delighted to observe the city of Lanka. For protection, he reduced himself to the size of a cat, and then proceeded to walk into the city, taking careful note of how everything was situated. Emissaries proud of their education or intelligence sometimes become the cause of failure. If I lose my life, great obstacles will crop up for the fulfillment of my master's object. Being thus careful, Hanuman, still no more than the size of a cat, walked along the roof of a very tall building and saw at a short distance the palace of Ravana,
surrounded by a glittering wall. The palace was guarded by armed Rakshasas, who never shrank from anything on account of moral principles. After searching everywhere, Hanuman finally found Sita in the dense forest. He went to Sita and hid behind a great tree. He began to speak to her from behind his place, concealed within the branches of the tree. Janaki was delighted to hear him. She had some doubt, but Hanuman was very sweet of speech, assuming a large form, reddish and clothed in white. And he recited to her the history of King Dasharatha, and Ramchandra and Lakshman and Sita. Listening to this being who was so cheerfully pronouncing the name of Ram, Sita began to shake off her ascetic firmness. She was becoming convinced that she was beholding Ramachandra's messenger, and that was as good as seeing Rama himself. She thought for a time that Hanuman might be another mirage, but the monkey told her things too treasured to be Rakshasa deceit. With folded palms, Hanuman approached Sita and gave her a ring from Rama. Oh, Hanuman, when you return to Rama, will you please ask him, do you remember the time we were wandering in the Danaka forest and a crow was disturbing me and you shot him with an arrow? When, however, he related Ramachandra's grief at his separation, she received it like poison. Oh, but soon he will be reunited with Lord Rama. Hanuman, please, you must hurry. I can only live one more month like this, and then I will give up my life. Before heading back with this message, Hanuman decided to gauge the enemy's power. He understood that he had been given no direct order to do this, but he reflected in his mind that there is no guilt if the servant, while accomplishing the main objective, does something else in addition. Thereupon, in miraculous display of prowess, Hanuman broke down all the trees in the Ashoka forest, except the one under which Sita was seated. He then fell upon the main gate of Lanka, and, uprooting a bolt, shouted out, "I am Hanuman of Anura, and the servant of Ramachandra." Frightened Rakshasas rushed out to see him, expanding himself to a gigantic size. Hanuman single-handedly destroyed thousands of Rakshasa warriors, and he set fire to every house in the city. "None of you will survive when you make an enemy of Ramachandra." And with these words, he flew back across the ocean. Without delay, the monkeys under Sugriva mobilized and built the miraculous bridge of stones across the ocean. As the Supreme Lord floats countless planets in space as though they were no more than little cotton swabs, certainly he can float one bridge of stones upon an ocean. In millions, with all military equipment, the army marched across the ocean and into Lanka, under the very nose of the Lord of the Rakshasas.
the great Rakshasa chieftains such as Kumbhakarna, Narantaka, and Indrajit, the son of Ravana, fell before the unlimited powers of heroes like Hanuman, Lakshman, Sugriva, and Ramachandra. At the last, Ramachandra slew Ravana with a Brahmastra released from his bow. It was hard and deep sounding, and when shot by Ramachandra, it cleft Ravana's heart in two, depriving him of life.